Welcome to the Mums Cooking Matter podcast, where we explore the multifaceted experiences of women and mothers and why it's vital to truly look after ourselves. As mothers, we are doing one of the most important and challenging jobs, raising the next generation. I'm your host, Lucy. I'm the birth recovery coach, coach for mums, perinatal specialist personal trainer, yoga teacher, and matrescence coach, working with women to make sense of their motherhood experience. It is my desire to help mums like you step into your power and rise as the change makers that we are. Just because society doesn't acknowledge the value of what mothers do, it doesn't mean we can't value ourselves. In my spare time, I love hanging out with my beautiful daughter, reading and writing poetry, long walks in nature, and a good soul-nourishing dance.
Mike, one of my such good friends, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining me today.
Pleasure. Thank you for asking me to be on here.
Oh, you're so welcome. And of course, we have such great conversations and it's great for this one to be recorded. So I've got some questions ready for you. And to begin with, I'd love it if you could tell us a bit about you and your family.
Yeah. So I don't know how much detail you want, but you can ask more detailed questions if you like. But
yeah,
as this is a podcast, people can't see me, so I'll give as much detail as possible. I am 36 years old. I have a wife who's 37. We have three daughters who are 7, 6, and 3. My wife and I both work in healthcare. She's a physiotherapist. I'm a sports therapist. She works in the NHS. I work privately, so I have my own technically company. And yeah.
Great.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a dog. We have a dog called Benson.
And I should probably have, not should have, but could have given you, given a bit more detail about you. So you are Mike Dye, owner of the New Health Project. Is that right?
Yes.
And yeah. So my second question, I suppose, now is, from my perspective, you seem to have a great balance in your relationship. And what do you do to build and maintain this and why? And obviously, I wanted to have you on my podcast. That is called Mums Fucking Matter. But dads support mums and I care about dads. And yeah.
Cool. Interesting you said that, because my initial thought to that was to maintain. Can you repeat the question? Was it how to maintain a good relationship?
Sure. What do you do to build and maintain your relationship and why? Because it seems to me like you have a great balance. I've said that ever since I started like knowing you.
Yeah. Well, I believe that not just in a marriage, but in a relationship with two people, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter what you do as an individual. It has to come from both people. So some of the things that we do them. So it's like you say, a balance. So I think communication is at the heart of everything we do, because if you don't communicate effectively, you don't know what the other person is thinking or feeling. And if you don't know what they're thinking or feeling, you can't take action in certain situations. So if someone's having a bad day and they bottle it up, how is the other person supposed to know how they're feeling or what they need? So our lives are always changing. Our situations are always changing, whether that be, you know, the more kids we're having a dog, changing of jobs, changing of responsibilities, increasing of responsibilities. And throughout that, we're needing different things. So if we communicate with each other, then we can take the right steps to having a good relationship. And it needs to be good communication. So I think good communication is, sometimes the conversations that we have are not always comfortable. It's not just like, hey, how's your day? It's like, do you mind if we talk? You know, I'm struggling with something and I know what I need. And then it comes on to the next thing and it's trying to work out what we need. So we have tea most nights. We sit down, we have a peppermint tea or a chamomile tea. And we talk about our days. It doesn't last that long. And the more we've been doing this, the quicker we can get to any problems. And because we talk often, there are less problems. So we communicate. And when we do, we make sure that the other person is listening. active listening. And we always try and come from a place of mutual support. So if one of us wants something, that there's going to be an end goal, but it needs to be a mutual end goal. So I can't just say, I need, you know, X, whatever it is. I need more time with my friends. I need, you know, help around the house. I need whatever it is. It needs to be, how can we get to a position where we are both happy with me spending more time here or you spending less time there, whatever it is. Yeah. So it's about, it's not about trying to win a conversation.
So
communication is really important.
It is.
We always try and keep the spark as well within our relationship. Now we have kids, we have a dog, we have more responsibilities, we live in a house, you know, we have bills. There are stresses that come with you know, those things. And when we first got together, we were young, carefree, and we had fun. You know, it seemed like we had more time, even though we had less money. We would have date nights. We would go traveling together. And that was what our relationship was built on. And we love each other for many reasons. But I think over time, you can allow the day-to-day runnings of life cast a shadow over the foundation of your relationship, the fun that you used to have. So we both try and make sure that at least once a month we do stuff together, just us two. Now we're doing stuff as a family with the kids, and we're doing things separately as well, but we make sure that we reignite that spark, that fun, and make sure that our relationship is still fundamental among everything else, the other responsibilities that we have. One of the things I think is also really important in maintaining a good relationship is ensuring that you don't lose your individual self. So there was a Rachel, my wife, there was a Rachel before me, and there was a Mike before Rachel. And I think sometimes people can become one when there's two of you and you lose your individual self. So before me, Rachel used to do karate and kickboxing, among other things, but she really liked doing that. And because of the way our relationship went, it wasn't rushed at all. We were very enthusiastic about, you know, getting married and then buying a house and then having kids. And I don't think she did any kickboxing or any karate during that time. And now that we've had our third child and there's a bit more free time, she didn't even say it herself, but I said to her, I was like, would you, I think she's always said that she would like to get back into it. And because I want to support her, I was like, okay, why don't we actually make this happen? Can we find you a karate club or a kickboxing club that she can get back into? So that there comes the next thing, which is like compromise. So I want her to have her individual self. I want to have my individual self. And because we have responsibilities, we can't just go off and do our own thing. There needs to be a compromise. So she works. She works twice a week, but she's working three times a week at the moment. So I want her to do that. She wants a career. So I have to make sure that I'm dealing with the responsibilities of the kids and the house and the dog whilst she's gone. And in return, because we want the best for each other, I'll say, babe, do you mind if I play tennis on a Friday night? And she'll say, yeah, you know, one, because I give her what she wants, and two, because she's a nice person. You know, I said at the start, you know, having a good relationship has to come from two people. You can be the best person ever. You can take on all the responsibilities in the world. You can be the nicest person in the world. But if the partner that you're with doesn't want you to have your own life, it's not going to be a good relationship. But, so we're there for each other. We want the best for each other. And it's not been easy, you know, a lot of this, you know, we've had to work on, but because we love each other, we get energy from that love, and the work and the challenges that come, you know, they seem effortless. And I always say to her, like, if we're ever in a bad spot, which is very rare, we always try and repair any situation. And I say to her at the end of it, I'm like, look, if we're, you know, this happens like once a year, if we're ever like just shouting at each other and just like really frustrated for whatever reason, at the end of it, when everything's calmed down, I say to her, I was like, look, I wouldn't want to be shouting with anyone else but you, like in that situation, no matter how bad things are. It's like, I'm glad I have those situations with her, because I know that we're going to become stronger from it. And we have done, you know. Lots to unfold there. But the main thing is sort of communication, keeping the spark, having fun, doing date nights.
Yeah.
Don't lose yourself.
And
yeah, it has to come from two. And one of the main things which I felt this morning is stay healthy. I know I'm biased towards that, but you know, last night wasn't a great night's sleep for me, and I didn't react in any way, but I felt a bit more like on edge. And then Rachel's the same. If she's hungry, she gets hangry. So sometimes if we're a bit, it's like, I need to go for a sleep and she needs to have some food. And then we come back and it's all good.
Brilliant.
I think we have a good relationship. Personally, which is probably more important than what anyone else thinks, other than Rachel. You know, she has to think the same as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we met just what, over 2 years ago, just about that now. And I just remember feeling this from very early on. You know, it was so clear in our conversations, and I feel just the same now. It's so inspiring. And I hope, obviously not you and I aren't relationship coaches or gurus, but like, I just hope that people get what you seem to have. I obviously have a background with unhealthy relationships, but it's just so lovely to see that you and Rachel are able to communicate well and to not just let things like tiredness and hangriness have you slide into unnecessary bickering. It's so great that you're so fucking aware to go, ah, this is it. Because I think a lot of people, and of course no major judgment or criticism, but like, just aren't aware of what it is that doesn't help them function so well. So if we can be aware, and obviously we may come into sort of what you do as a profession and why you're into health, and obviously I am too, but it's lovely to witness a man like yourself able to look after yourself, which is a huge part of why a relationship can work. And then obviously you having reverence and respect for Rachel's experience as well. And that is huge. And that is what I feel in a lot of the women I talk to personally and professionally as a coach for women and mums is lacking. It's the partner, whether it's a man or a woman, being able to sort of take ownership of their state and their ability to go, oh gosh, no, I do want the best for you. Love hearing all you've shared.
If your partner wins, you win. You're not in competition with your partner. And I know, you know, a few people, if something's going well in their life, let's say they've got a new hobby, they get a promotion, they go on a holiday, their partner, you can always see it. It's like they're a bit jealous maybe of what's going on in their life, but you shouldn't be. You should be like, yes, that's amazing. Encouragement. This is so good, because if they win, you win. And I had a conversation with someone, and I've had this multiple times, where I went on a stag do last weekend, and it's getting to the point in my life now where there aren't many stag do's that I go on. Funnily enough, I've had two this year, and I've not had one for, you know, 4 years before that. And I told someone that I was, you know, going away for the weekend, and the first thing that they said was, oh, well, when does Rachel get to go away? And what's she doing? Has she got the kids for the whole weekend? It was, you know, fine. It was sympathy towards her. Like, is Rachel going to be okay, you know, with the kids and the dog? And firstly, it's yes. She's a very independent, capable mother, woman, human being. And she had her own plans and she had help and it was fine. And also, she gets to go away with her friends, you know, when she gets invited. I don't stop her. And I think there's a culture out there where, for some reason, we maybe don't stop someone doing what they want to do, but we make it a bit difficult and we make them feel guilty for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah, so, yeah. If you win, they win. If they win, you win. It's the closest person to you, right? It should be. I think. But again, I'm one person. You know, like you said before, we're not relationship gurus, but I am in a relationship and it is going well. And these are the things that I do.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be in a bad relationship, right? Especially if you live with that person, like you come home to them.
Yeah.
You go to sleep, they're there. You wake up, they're there. Everything you do, they're there. And it's like, if it's good, it's like, ah, you get to go to bed with them. You get to wake up with them. You know, you get to kiss them goodbye when they go to work. You get to hug them when they come home. It's like, it should be the most amazing thing in the world. And for me, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that people take responsibility of relationships. They don't just happen. You do have to put a bit of effort in.
Yeah.
Whether it's a simple thing like when your partner comes in from a bad day, whatever that be. Maybe no matter how bad your day has been, just go give them a hug, give them a cuddle. If that's what they want, you know, what do they need? Or maybe, you know, your husband comes in from work and you know he likes a cold beer. It doesn't take that much effort to give him a cold beer. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everyone should do that, but, you know, and maybe the husband has had a really bad day at work and he's going to come home and he's going to deal with the kids and the wife's going to be in a bad mood. What about, does she like flowers? What about you stop off on the way home, you grab some flowers and you come in and you take them in. And then by you showing up with these flowers, like your wife is like, oh, that's such a nice thought. You know, it costs £3.50 from Co-op. You know, it doesn't have to be the most expensive. It's the thought. And no matter how bad, you know, that person's day has been, by giving that gesture and by receiving that gesture, maybe it makes everything much better, because sometimes the bad days aren't actually that bad. It's just an accumulation of small things that build up. And if you just get this little thing, this affirmation of, I love you, you know, so nice.
Oh, so, it is. Yeah.
Small things can add up, right?
Oh my
Good and bad. Good and bad.
Yeah, totally. I say that all the time in my coaching, like physical work, like classes, yoga and things like that. Like little things can make such a big difference. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting that you said that, because my experience is the kind of the not so positive, but it's interesting that you said that it's a cultural thing, that it's not so easy for a partner to go away. And if they do go away, then it's sort of guilt ridden, that kind of thing.
Can be, in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I feel like, and I've said this to you before, obviously off record, but I just want to thank you for all the mums out there, just for the work you do as a dad, like personally, and personally, not even professionally, because, well, professionally your work is brilliant as well, but like for taking, and this is really big, and I know that there'll be people listening to this, because they'll think, well, yeah, unfortunately my partner doesn't done that, and it doesn't mean that it's outright bitching about the partner. It's just they're not as aware as you. Yeah. And I'm not saying that every woman listening to this needs to compare their partner. But what you do manning the fort with your three children and the dog is really admirable in my opinion, because from what I have had and my clients and friends express, it's never easy for them to go away. And don't get me wrong, some of the work I do with women is talking about themselves and being an advocate for themselves, saying what they need. So I'm aware that it may be that Rachel is able to say, and I hope obviously it's okay to talk about Rachel in her absence, that she's able to say, I need this from you. But that's what it takes in every relationship, right? This comes back to what you were saying about communication. Instead of, no, you're not going away on another fucking holiday and I'm here stuck with the kids. It's not stuck with the kids. I think it takes both people to say, I need a break, or I need support. And yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we moved to where we are 6 years ago. And around the same time, Rachel got a great opportunity with work. And it meant that she would have to travel quite a long way. So she felt guilty asking me. She was like, I don't know what to do. This is a great opportunity for work. But, you know, I had to look after the kids. So I had to think about my work. And I just said to her, I just said, we'll make it work. I was like, you want this. I can see how much you want this. I was like, go do it. We'll make it work. Yeah. And you know what? Because I like doing things for people anyway. That's in my line of work. But I want to allow Rachel to be able to do whatever she wants to do. And then if she feels like she can do whatever she wants to do, she feels free in the relationship. And because she feels free in the relationship, hopefully, then when I ask for things, sometimes it's not always, yeah, sure, you can do whatever you want. It's, you know, okay, well, hold on, let's talk about this. That's okay.
Yeah.
But then she'll go, you know what? You're a fucking good person. You're a really good husband. Hopefully she says this. Yeah. Yes, of course you can go away. And if you want something in a relationship, let's just say you're the most selfish person on the earth and you're with someone, if you do stuff for them, they'll be more willing to do stuff for you too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do it from a selfish point of view. I do it because, well, maybe it is selfish deep down. I don't want to be with someone that is going to be miserable. Now, Rachel's not miserable, but if I said, no, you're not getting that job, you've got to work here. No, you're not doing this, you've got to do that. I'll be living with someone that's miserable. I don't want to do that. I want to be with someone that's very, not happy, but just is doing what they want to do within reason. But again, I think I'm lucky. You know, I think Rachel's a great person. So it put, you know, my formula might not work for someone that's not Rachel, who knows? You know,
I hear what you're saying about you would want to be with someone who feels free to be themselves. And I love that it's clear that it's about, yet again, we say the communication and sort of the negotiation. It's not the kind of declaration of I'm doing this and so-and-so has to adjust. It's this discussion over tea in a peaceful setting. And I don't think, well, this is obvious. We're not taught to communicate assertively and calmly. We're just fucking not. And I see this is incredibly common. And I do my best, not just with my partner, but family and with my daughter to calmly convey what I'm trying to say without the heightened emotions. And of course, anger is valid and things like that, but it doesn't always help. It doesn't help to convey things with a real emotional charge. So the fact that you and Rachel are able to have that is powerful, I think. And I don't know if I'm the only person in your life that goes, oh, you seem to get on really well and it's really beautiful to witness. But like, I can say that there was another lady and her husband who came to my baby massage class. And I remember she came for one of the courses and then she said, oh, would it be all right if my husband came next week because he's off work. And that was another lovely example of a really collaborative relationship. I remember that. And it was just, so lovely to witness. Yeah, I think that's largely it, really. It is unusual in my experience, both personally and professionally, in the motherhood space that I work in, that a woman is able to convey what she needs and wants without a state of desperation, because it often gets to a point where it's a bit like injuries, you know, we ideally prefer to prevent rather than treat. But what I find is it often gets to a state of desperation and rage and upset when actually we could, maybe further down the line after some work, say things, you know what, I know it's going to piss me off if you ask to go away with your friends yet again. You haven't realised that I haven't been away. Can we work on this balance, you know, in that kind of tone? How does that sound?
Yeah, and it's if you want it. So I don't think it has to be even. So there have been times where I've been away like let's say two nights on the trot or two weekends on the trot, and then Rachel will really pick up on that, and I'll say like, this isn't about being even. Maybe the frequency is too intense. You know, it's like twice in 2 weeks, for example, and yeah. I get that.
Yes.
But some things pop up. You know, let's say you got two weddings over two weekends, and let's say that, you know, it hasn't happened, but Rachel doesn't know them, so I'm going to these weddings.
Yeah.
There needs to be some give there, because on the flip side, Rachel has also had opportunities where she's had quite an intense month or a couple of months where she's been very busy and sociable. And I don't think things need to be even. I think they need to be well balanced. So what do you want and what do they want? Yeah. And are you getting enough? Are you both getting enough? Let's say that person A wants something and they get it 100% of the time, and person B wants half of that, but they're only getting that 50% of the time. That's not balanced. But if you're both getting the same amount of what you want, that's the compromise. So I'm not a pushover. You know, if I want something, it's like, look, I know that this is going to be upsetting to you, but my friends are going away at the weekend. I don't want to miss out. Or, you know, I try and give her more notice than a day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really want to do this. But again, I'm sort of asking her, but we'll make it work. You know, I always have that in mind. And vice versa, if she wants to go away, I'm like, yeah, we'll make it work. But it can become too much. And it has become too much. And we know what's too much, you know. I can't go out to the pub every night. I don't go to the pub, but I can't do something every night. That's too much. Equally, she can't go kickboxing every night. You know, that's too much. So it's finding the balance. And I'm all for experiencing, you know, what's too little and what's too much. So you could be socializing too much and then neglecting your partner, or you could be not socializing enough and neglecting yourself. So find out what's the right amount, and then find the balance.
Yeah. And I think, coming back to the title of my podcast called Mums Fucking Matter, it's great that you clearly treat Rachel like she matters, but also you treat yourself like you matter. And I think that's the fucking basis of a lot of the work I do. Like, remember not to shit on yourself. You've got to have your own back. You've got to be able to speak about what you want, as well as kindly supporting another person. Yeah.
Well, we're both human beings, whether we're a mother or father, or, you know, male or female. You know, I have very, very close friends who are in same-sex relationships, and it's like, you know, mums fucking matters. That they could both be mums. It's like the same rule applies. It's like, are you getting what you want within reason?
Yes.
You know, you're both human beings. You both want the best for each other because you're in a relationship with one another. So you know, it's worth it. It's fucking worth having these conversations. And it's setting the scene of conversations that can be difficult. And if you have it, you know, the tea ceremony works for Rachel and I, but it might be different for someone. You might want to go for a walk and have a chat, but it's being receptive to the fact that you might not like what is, what's going to come.
You know? Yeah. Uncomfortable conversations can be so profound in the way of growth and healing.
They're essential. I had a difficult conversation the other day. It didn't go very well in terms of they didn't really get what I was saying, but the fact that I said what I wanted to say and I set boundaries, it felt good. And I was like, no, this is I need this. So I set the boundary, and I was like, that feels good. I'm not being walked over anymore. So stand up for yourself, but also be, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, you have to live with them. So tread carefully.
Yeah. That brings me to a line from a book on my shelf. I'm just looking to my shelf. It's called Wolfpack, and I've got the version written for kids and grown-ups. And Abby Wambach, who is the author, says, be grateful for what you have, but demand what you deserve. And I think that's really great to listen, to think about when we think about boundaries. Like, yes, I'm grateful that, like, let me think of a common example, like the in-laws can help with my child every so often, but I don't want them to come over without giving me fucking notice, you know?
Exactly. I agree.
So my next question is, how do you find being a parent/parenting?
Oh, I mean, it's a roller coaster of a ride. You know, this morning, this podcast nearly didn't happen. All right, so right. We haven't spoken about this yet, but I had to break into my own house. In the rush for a school run, which I'll discuss in a second, I left the house keys in the house. And we do have a key safe, but we actually used that yesterday because someone came around to babysit and we gave them the keys and then they were left in the house. So, you know, that moment in time I wasn't stressed out about it, but I was like, okay, there's a problem that needs to be solved. So I went next door, got a ladder, climbed over the garage to the back. The back was all locked up, climbed back over. No, sorry, went through the garage because the garage was open, but it's not interconnected to the house.
Yeah.
And then I saw an upstairs small window was open. So I climbed up the ladder, grabbed hold of the key that was in the small window, put my hand through to the other window, which was larger, opened it up, climbed through, and then I was in the house at like 10 to 10. So it was, yeah, I know. Yeah. So usually on my, so my interaction with the kids on a couple of days a week, I have to take them to nursery, school, and then pick them up. At the same time, I take the dog for a walk because I also work on those days. And getting three young children to sit down, have breakfast, and get dressed for school, and then make their lunch, and all the things that go around it, it's quite challenging because these three little things, they move around, they don't often listen, and sometimes they undo the things you've done. So it's, how do I find parenting? It's surprising how difficult it can be because it's not straightforward. And I'm surprised at how stressed I used to get just without kids. It's like, what the, really? Like, yeah. Life seems so much easier now without kids. Yes. But, you know, much like recording a podcast or going for a run, it's not always easy. You know, you're not just going to pick up the mic and start recording and there's no technical difficulties. And you're not just going to go for a run and, you know, run a marathon and everything's going to be easy. It's difficult. But you do it because you love it. And I became a parent because I thought I would love being a dad. And I do absolutely love it. But it comes with challenges. And one of the main things that I struggle with is mess. So if I just turn 90 degrees, I can see sort of blankets on the floor, puzzle pieces everywhere, a potty in the middle of the room, a buggy. There's just mess. There's colouring down there. There's pyjamas on the sofa, stuff on the side. And this is tidy, you know, right now. So there's always something to do, which is not always a bad thing. The main thing I struggle with is that society takes us away from our kids sometimes. I have to work and they have to go to school. And it's not nice for them always because they even ask me, they say, why do we have to go to school so much? We spend more time at school than we do at home. We prefer being at home. And that's a killer, you know? It's like, how do you answer that question without sounding, you know, corrupt? It's like, well, you have to go to school so you can get a good job and earn some money so you can go to work. It's like, what the fuck? So I struggle with that. But what I do make sure that we do is on weekends, we have quality time together. So when the weather's nice, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, just have fun in the house, play games. I have three kids, so I'm aware that they are individuals. So I try and have individual time with each of them from the youngest to the oldest. They each have their own amazing qualities as well as their own troubles, you know? Yeah. And it's a constant challenge to just learn about them and about what to do. And sometimes that you can't help them. You know, my oldest is having a little bit of trouble at school, and she gets upset, and it's hard for me because I want to help her, but I can't help her. All I can do is be there for her, tell her I love her, give her what she needs when she's at home. and then also say, you know, you've got this, you've got to go, you've got to, I don't want to just say it blankly, like, you got to toughen up. But, you know, I tried to use analogies. So this morning we turned the TV off and our youngest started crying. And I said to the oldest, I said, look, I said, she's young. She cries when the TV goes off. You know, she's going to get stronger and it'll be fine one day that we can turn the telly off. Mm. And I said, one day the problems that you're having at school, they won't upset you so much. And I, so it's really tough because you've heard the saying, you're only as happy as your youngest, as your unhappiest child.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard
If, and I heard it and I was like, really? But when your child is unhappy, you feel it. So whenever they come to you and say problems, you could be having the greatest life in like the world. Like you drive a Ferrari, you got £1 million in the bank, you know, you've got great social life, you live in a mansion. But if your kid comes home and they're devastated, if you care about them, you can't enjoy the things you have because you feel their pain. So it's painful being a parent, but it's also amazing. It's just like, but I've become a lot better as a parent, and people might say, well, how do you know if you're a better parent than you were before? It's, I'm more calm in certain situations, and that's surely a good thing. You know, I can give them what they need. I'm more attentive to them. There's more love there. Whereas before it was like rabbit in headlights. Like, what do I do? You know? So yeah, but I'm always wanting to improve myself. I believe that we always have the capability of learning and improving, not just physically or mentally, but emotionally as well. And being a parent is something that I think as parents should all try and improve our abilities in. Otherwise, you know, I don't know, it affects your kids and then it affects you.
Yeah.
Negatively or positively. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What wisdom. And.
Well, it's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good. It's just, just do my best.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's right. You don't know what's going to happen.
No,
you don't,
of course.
You know, if the kids are spending more time at school than they are with you, how much influence do you really have on them? And they each have their own personality type and they're going to turn out a certain way anyway. All we can do is do our best to guide them.
Yes, yes.
If we care.
Yeah. Oh, thank you
tough.
For sharing.
It's fucking tough.
Yeah.
Fucking tough sometimes.
It is. It is. And again, I feel like I want to say, because like you might not know this, because of course we don't get to chat like all that often, and obviously we go into all sorts of different things, but I just want to say thank you again on behalf of all the parents really, but particularly because I work with mums, the mums, because you're, and it makes me emotional thinking about this, but your ability to, and your capacity and your desire to get to know each of your kids and to spend time with each of your kids is really moving. Because in experience mine and other people's combined, a partner, and of course there is a certain level of compassion and forgiveness for what stops them from being able to be present with their child, but they don't have the capacity. They're looking at their phone too much, in my opinion, whilst with the child, or they are palming off the child to an activity. And of course, like, some people may take this that I'm judging, but I'm not. I'm simply observing with a deep love of people and children to know that we all deserve one-on-one attention with someone who cares for us. And the fact that you can give that to your children is incredibly moving, because I think that takes the pressure off the mum, because so much can be loaded onto mum's shoulders and the mental load. It's big and it's wonderful that you're able to do that and that you want to do that.
Well, it's a choice. It's always a choice. I can choose to be on my phone or I can choose to be with them. I know which is the right choice. You know, kids get love from your time. They want your time. They want your attention. If you ever just, you know, put everything down, your phone, all other responsibilities, switch the TV off, and be with your kid. You will be with them for hours, and they will direct the situation. It's like, come on, let's play puzzles. Or, can you chase me? Like, let's play monsters. Yeah. Or, can we go outside on the trampoline? Can we go for a bike ride? I'm hungry. Can we do... They will literally... If you don't have anything else on your mind, you'll have a great day, because they will re-inject fun into your life. Yeah. Like, it's fucking awesome. But we are distracted by our phones, because we get a positive emotion from them. It's not always a good positive thing. It doesn't lead us to a good place. And we do have responsibilities of work, so that's always in my mind. And I have to switch off from work if I want to be a good dad, because if I've got two things in my mind, like being there for the kids and I've got to send that email or book that patient in, then I can't give them what they need. They just want your time, and they fucking love it, and they love you. That kids are a portal to fun and being a child again. And when we almost like force society on them by go to school, come on, we've got to hurry up. Like, it's like the kids don't like that. It's not fun.
Yeah.
But if we say, look, we've got nothing planned today, they'll plan the day, and it'll be a great day. And, you know, with being a parent and having to be here for the kids and my wife wanting to work, it's forced me to create more time for myself. And I've created this company that has helped me to have more time. You know, there is more responsibility there, but if I want to take a day off, I take a day off. I don't talk to anyone. I just don't book people in.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to take a day off and spend it with the kids, I can do that whenever I like. I don't, because I still have to think about the finances, for example. Yeah. But kids just want you. And if you neglect them of that, then you don't know what you're doing to them. And you don't know what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fucking hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, my episode, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was basically talking about how challenging parenting is. And it is both beautiful and difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think before moving to the next question, which has come up really nicely with you saying what you do kind of to make time for yourself, I think we've spoken about this before, but the term presence over presence, so presence in company over presence, like showering them with gifts, is so fucking powerful, isn't it? Yeah, I really love that.
I am so, so against presence with a T. I'm like, kids feel they want that, because they're like, they get a massive buzz out of it, like we do with gifts. And then what happens? Like, they get broke, they get lost, or they get too big for them. They don't care about it. We've just made that a thing. If you took every single plastic gift away from every single child, they wouldn't be less happy. They'd find a stick. My youngest, she picks up sticks and she's well over the moon, you know. But I could spend $5,000 on a gift. She wouldn't like it more. She'd just be like, "Oh, great, But spend time with them. I would like a lot less material things in this house. But I think most of them are bought from other people. I say most of them. I don't think I've ever bought them a gift. People think that if they're not spending time with them, then gifts make up for that. It's like, well, I know. Not in the right way.
I agree. Yeah. And this is backed up. This isn't obviously, like, I know that there are other people who talk about this, but the work of Gabor Maté talk about this, you know, the importance of a healthy childhood. But that's another podcast in itself, I think. So if you're okay, I'll come to how do you fill your cup and look after yourself, and how does that impact your life?
Well, I worked with someone probably about 5 years ago now, and we just got on really well. And he lives in Jersey, and he went back to Jersey, and I said, I'll come out and see you. And we try and make it a yearly thing where I go over to Jersey, we spend a weekend together, and we have the freedom of choice to do what we like. And we choose to like go sea kayaking, we go coasteering, so jumping off of cliffs into the sea. We play tennis, we have barbecues. And I was talking to someone a week after I went away to Jersey last year. And they said, yeah, how are you doing? I said, oh, great. You had a great weekend. What did you do? And I said, it was just like soul fulfilling things. And Carl Jung, he says that people don't have ideas. Ideas have people. It's like you don't choose what you like. You just like it. You don't really know. And you don't have to know. So I know that I love spending time with friends, but not too much time. It's like, I'm a bit of an introvert. I love quality time with individuals. I love that. I love playing sport. Absolutely love it. And I love being adventurous and eating like nice food. So I was like, that weekend, I was like, okay. And the person that asked me that question, they said, why do you only do it one weekend a year? And I was like, good point. Can I do those things more often? So I started playing tennis. I play probably on average 3 times a month. And it's a skill that I like to improve on and I enjoy it. And that's something I do for myself. I make sure I book in time with friends, even though normally I wouldn't have done. Like, historically, I've sort of neglected that through focusing on work and other responsibilities, building the company. I love going out to new places and eating nice food. So I've put these little things into my week and month. And now I feel like, oh, that really fills up my soul. And then I can go back into the responsibilities of life and be like, my life's fucking great. I can deal with these challenges. Now, before that, I was still trying to get the best sleep I could, trying to eat a healthy diet and also exercising on a regular basis to make sure that I'm in the best shape myself so I can, like say, fill up my cup and then give to others. Now, going back to what I do, I'm a sports therapist. I help people with injuries, and it takes a bit of brain power. Sometimes it takes, real attentive listening and empathy. And that if my cup is full, I can give that, I can be there for them and be like, you're going through a tough time right now. And then I'll assess them on an individual basis, find out exactly what I feel they need, and then work with them. And I do that, a few times a day. Now, if I haven't slept well, if I haven't eaten well, if I haven't done the things that I love, my cup is empty and then I can't give. So everything's shit. My quality of work's shit. My relationship's probably shit because my sleep's shit and my diet's shit. So I think most people know the analogy now of, looking after yourself first so you can help others. If the oxygen masks come down in an airplane, you don't look after your kids first, because if you put that mask on your child first and you pass out, they can't help you. So you look after yourself first, put that mask on first, breathe that in. Your kids passed out, it's fine. You put the mask on them and you're both alive. So you have to look after yourself first. Find out whatever fills your soul. Ask yourself that question. What fills my soul? Things just pop into your head. You won't know why. You wouldn't know where they came from, but they would just pop up, pop up, pop up. And then you say, am I doing those things? And if the answer is no, can I do those things? The answer should be yes. You start doing things that you love for yourself, you'll be a happier, more fulfilled person. And then you'll be able to give to your partner. You'll be able to give to your kids. You'll be able to give more to your job. Everything gets better. Everything. And people they gravitate to that. They're like, oh, they've got lots of energy. It's like, oh, I want some of that. And they can take it, if you're giving them time. But if your cup is just overflowing, you can just give and give and give. So the things I do for myself is whatever the answer is, what do I need? What do I want? And then I go and do it. And then it goes back to, talking to my wife. Is it okay? Are the kids all right? I can't go on a Wednesday morning. Yeah. That's my compromise. I got the kids. Thursday morning, yes. Got the kids. Thursday evening, got the kids. You know, that's the time where my wife, she does her kickboxing. And she goes for a run. Right. You know, balance. Yin and yang.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. I love that you mentioned the overflowing cup, because that's exactly sort of what I was thinking. Like, we can give from a place of overflow, and the yin and the yang, which we often talk about. Yeah. Wow. Well, I think maybe that's a good place to close, but just fucking love it and so grateful for you and the work you do personally and professionally. So yeah, thank you for joining me today. Is there anything that you'd like to add about what you offer? Anything at all that you'd like to share before we close?
Oh, well, can I plug my website? That'll be enough.
Please do. Yeah, of course.
Just New Health Project. If you Google it, it should pop up. Or you can just type in www.newhealthproject.co.uk. And you'll see anything that I provide there. I do, free 30-minute consultations as well. So just have a chat, and then you can just be on your way and never use my services. That's absolutely fine. this is what you're doing is amazing as well, and I've followed in your footsteps on many things, so I think we should all try and inspire each other in many different ways, and get stronger together.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you, I appreciate that. And here is a poem I would love to share with you. Because poetry means a lot to me. I write poetry, I read it a lot, and I've chosen specific poems for each episode, so I hope you enjoy them. This is a poem by Karen McMillan, and it's called Dads Matter Too. I know you think I never see all those little things you do, and I know how you hate poetry, but this one's just for you. Your mornings are a long goodbye, with all the warmth that you can find. You're always rushing out the door, never get to work on time. You gently push him to try the new, and daring things I never do. The bigger slides and scary rides, he has a lot more fun with you. You're the best giddy-upper, you're a human climbing frame. He sees you a lot less than me, but he loves you just the same. You do the funniest voices and all the farmyard noises, even though you hate to read. You break all the rules. You're much more cool. You're the good cop compared to me. And every night you burst through the door with arms open wide, even when your day's been shit. Coat off, bag down, straight in the lounge to empty out the stickle bricks. You carry him around for hours just because he's asked you to. You've acquired those sudden biceps. Yes, I noticed those too. So yes, I see all that you are and all the ways that he loves you. But I wrote these words for everyone because dads matter too.
Thank you for listening to the Mums F***ing Matter podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at The Birth Recovery Coach on social media or contact me via my website. The link is in the show notes. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about my coaching offering, hop onto my website and book a free discovery call. Sending you love and peaceful wishes. Until next time, look after you.